All right, we're going to look into the 30th chapter tonight with the help of the Lord, and the first five verses. This 30th chapter speaks of Judah's failure and God's faithfulness. Judah's failure and God's faithfulness. And it corresponds with the book of Amos. And I want to give you some scriptures in which it corresponds. We'll just look at these first. In the ninth verse of this 30th chapter, we read that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Now, let's go over to the book of Amos and notice what's written over here. Amos is right after Joel, and Joel after Hosea, Daniel, Hosea, and so forth. Amos 2 and the fourth verse. Notice the likeness of these verses. Amos 2, 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments and their lives. Remember what we read over there in Isaiah? Their lives cause them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. And hold Amos, and let's read in the 10th verse now in Isaiah 30. We should have just read it together. But notice what this 10th verse says. But say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Now notice what Isaiah 5 and the 10th verse says. Amos 5:10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. So see how these two books harmonize. All right, this 30th chapter of Isaiah is divided into three portions. Verses 1 through 5 is the proclamation of Jehovah, and then the next division is chapter 6 to 26. And in this one, it is entitled Jehovah Judges Without Discrimination. Glad he will. And then the next division is verses 27 to 33, and that's Jehovah's declaration concerning his second coming. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he's coming again, aren't you? It's going to be a wonderful day. And things are really coming to pass swiftly, too. That we know it soon. All right, let's read these first five verses of chapter 30 of Isaiah. Now, this is the fourth woe that we have in this section. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth. They were going right back to the place God did deliver them from, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt be your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Ain. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be in help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. This is a sad portion. It really is. But this woe comes upon them because Judah, this rebellious people, had formed their own council with Egypt. And Glenn and I were speaking last night, I believe it was, that Egypt today has a treaty with the nation Israel today. We know that all the other Arab countries want to go to war, but Egypt has a treaty with the nation Israel. In the previous chapter, the chapter 29:15, we read there that they sought deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And this phrase here that cover, the first word here, that cover with a covering has the same thought. And in the margin, this cover with a covering means they weave a web or make a treaty. weave a web or make a treaty. Who are they making this with? The world. Egypt speaks of the world. Egypt is a symbol of five fleshly continents that apostate Israel will put their trust in, and they'll find protection as this word cover has the thought of their protection. They think that Egypt will cover them. And this is brought out over in the 36th chapter and the 6th verse. This is what's going on today. Israel is making these treaties with this country too, and they think that they're going to be protected, and they're not. Isaiah 36 and the 6th verse. Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed. That's what Egypt, that's what the world is to anybody. On Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. Dear ones, we cannot trust the world in any form. It will fail us. We cannot. It will be just like we read here. It'll pierce our hands, and we cannot put our trust in the broken reed. So when they went down, and these ambassadors, these princes, Isaiah, I don't know if this is a vision, I'm not sure on that, but if the Lord just saw them going down there, but I believe it's a vision that he has of these princes and these ambassadors going down to Egypt. And notice in that first verse, he says, but it's not of my spirit. It wasn't of the Lord, in other words. And they were adding to their sin. Notice they add sin to sin. They're adding to their sins of their hard hearts by their self-will, going on and doing this, and their apostasy. And the result of it, we read in the third and fifth verse, it's going to be to their shame. They're going to have confusion, and it's going to be a reproach unto this nation Israel. And this is what happens to any individual saint today that goes down to the world for help. It's going to bring a reproach upon that individual. We don't have to. We've got the Lord. The Lord is our helper. The Lord is a shade that's on our right hand. Look unto him. Look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Praise the Lord. So Isaiah sees the progress of these ambassadors and these princes as they go down to Egypt. There's some precious truth here. Notice the second verse. They walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, the Lord speaking, to strengthen them in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Notice what it is here. It's just a shadow. It's shaded. It's something that isn't real. And so they go on down there, and as the third verse says, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. Now these are two cities or places where they went. And one of the commentaries that we read in studying has some wonderful thoughts on this, and it's precious, so just trust the Lord we can bring it out. Notice here these princes, they're at Zoan first and then at Hanes. Zoan is from a root word meaning to strike tent, and it also means removal. And it speaks of the character of this world in which we live. The character of the world in which we live. The word says that this world is going to be destroyed and it's going to be removed. In Hebrews 13 and verses 13 and 14, do I want that one here? Yes. It also speaks to us of our bodies that are going to be removed, these tabernacles in which we live. They're going to be removed. They'll be taken down. And so Paul says in Hebrews 13:13-14, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. See, every city in this world is going to be removed. It's going to be destroyed by God. Every city, every place. But we have a permanent home. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Just trust the Lord will enable us to bring this out, that we can understand it. This home will never be removed. It's a permanent place. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5, in the first verse, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved or removed, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. See the contrast. These tabernacles are going to be removed, and everything here, but we have something permanent in the heavens. John 14, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you. All right. Now, this city of Zion was called by another name before it was Zion. Let's go back to the book of Numbers. And I trust the Lord. This is something that we studied when we were going through the book of Numbers, and it just is precious. Numbers 13, verses 21. Well, this is when the spies went up to search the land of Canaan. And let's read the 21st verse along with it. Praise the Lord. Remember, 12 spies went up to search the land. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now the Lord put this in here for a reason. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zion in Egypt. Now why did the Lord put that in there? That's what was so precious in studying this today. Thank the Lord for this wonderful truth. Hebron is just the opposite of Zion. Hebron means communion or intimacy, as we have communion with the Lord and fellowship with our Father. We have communion, and that was built before Zion, this worldly city. Now, when Jesus Christ came into this world, he was sent away out of the veil of Hebron. But I want to read this in Genesis, which gives us a type of this, and this is what Lord is setting and giving us in Genesis. But let's go to Genesis 37 and read here where Joseph, Genesis 37 and the 14th verse. See where Joseph went out from, and keeping in mind that Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ. When Jacob sent him to look for his brethren, he told him in the 14th verse of chapter 37, he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flock. Can't you just hear the Father telling Jesus this? And bring me word again. So he sent him out of the veil of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. But notice where he sent him out of, the veil of communion. Jesus Christ had had communion with his Father from eternity past. And when he came down to this earth, he went away from that place of communion with his Father. And he was down here 30-some years, 33 years, away from his Father. He had communion with him down here, but it wasn't like when he was up there. So he came up down here, and left that perfect place of communion and fellowship. Let's go over to Luke, the 20th chapter. If you have any questions as we go through this, tell us so we can make it more plain if we need to. Luke 20, and this is a parable, but this is what they did to him when he came down. Luke 20, and we'll just read the 13th and the 14th verse. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. Satan wants this inheritance, and that he's not going to get it. Now, what did Jesus do when he came down here? Let's go to 1 John, the little beautiful epistle, little letters of 1 John. This is a beautiful. In 1 John 1, this is what Jesus did when he came down. He left the veil of Hebron. He came down here to bring us back, to take us back to this veil of communion. Notice this, 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which Jesus was, John says, which we have heard, he heard his voice, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And that's what we're doing tonight. We're handling this word of life. What we're studying is life. Praise the Lord. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Can't you just almost feel that eternal life within you? I can feel it. Paul told Timothy to lay hold on eternal life. We have that life in us. If that's this treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, we lay hold of it. Then John continues here in the third verse. He says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Why did he do this? That ye may have fellowship with us, with Jesus and John. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now Jesus' joy was full before he left that place of communion. Now he came down here, and he's bringing many sons back to glory, that our joy can be full, and we can have that same communion with the Father that he had before he came down. Isn't that wonderful? It's a wonderful place that we can sit in his presence and have communion with him. This morning the Lord gave me something that just was so precious. It was entirely not anything connected with this lesson, but it was a communion that he gave me that we needed this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's see. In Numbers, we read there that John was, let's go back there and read that again so we'll get it right. Numbers 13:21. Notice Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. All right, 7 years is a symbol of a complete age, completeness. So before Zoan was built, this place of constant removals was built. Before this Zoan was built, God had a purpose, and that purpose was to bring his people home with him. Hebron. Let's go to Ephesians. This is the purpose that he had. Praise the Lord. Wonderful truth. This is way before this world was ever, ever brought into existence. This is the purpose God had before any of this purpose, any of the world was here. Ephesians 1 and the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And where are they? They're not down here. They're spiritual blessings. Notice that. People say, I want blessings. Well, they're not. If you're seeing material, you won't get them up there. They're spiritual, and they're up. The spiritual blessings are up there. They're in heavenly places in Christ. And then this fourth verse. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This was built, this purpose was built, we'll put it that way, before this zone ever came into being. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. So we were there before, we were there with him in his purposes. We were chosen in him. Can you imagine that wonderful truth? That just is a wonderful truth. It's something that's so real. Praise the Lord. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, in Christ. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, we have another city here in Isaiah, and this is the only time this city is ever mentioned in Scripture, in the fourth verse, and that is the city by the name of Haines. Suppose Haines got their name from here? I wouldn't be surprised. Haines means grace has fled. Grace has fled. So this path that these ambassadors, and I thought of that title, ambassadors, these were ambassadors from Israel that were going down there. We're ambassadors from heaven. Let's don't go down to Egypt. But they were taking this path away from God's grace. They were going to lean upon the world for help. They were not depending upon the grace of God and that which he could give. Now there's one more little thought we want to bring in before we close tonight. Let's go back to Numbers. I couldn't leave this out. When these spies went there, there were, in this 22nd verse, there were some people that lived there. They came unto Hebron, in the 22nd verse, and who lived there? Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak. First, Anak means long neck, and it speaks, all of these speak of the pride of the old creation. But we're going to see what each one of these means. A high man is the first one that's mentioned, and then his name really gives away what it means, a high man. It means, who is my brother? Question mark. Speaks of the pride of station, of birth, or worldly condition. Some people think because they're born into a special family, they're somebody special, but they're not. The old creation is the old creation. But as we stay in communion with the Lord, with our Father, he begins to humble us. He begins to take away that pride. And we learn that everything of the old creation was cut off at Calvary. All that pride, a station, whatever it may be, it was cut off at Calvary. And that's the only way we're going to learn it. Is through this word, through communion with the Lord. All right, Sheshai means white linen of self. White linen of self. And it speaks the pride of our personal character, or in other words, self-righteousness. There are many Christians, and this is sad, but there are many, many Christians who do not want to be identified with saints who love Paul's gospel. And they have not gone outside of the camp, religious camp, as we read there in Hebrews. Remember when Jesus was crucified, they took him outside the city of Jerusalem. Those religious people didn't want his death to defile the city of Jerusalem, so they took him outside. The one who made this city, this one who made them, they took him outside. Well, he wants us to go outside with him. Bear his record of my hand or my pearls, something I've done. Look at me. Titus 3:5, I think, is one of my favorite scriptures. One of the first ones I learned. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us and washed us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5, the wonderful scripture. Not by anything that we've done. We haven't done a thing to merit what we have. But these are things that we learn about ourselves, about our old man, I'll put it that way. As we begin to have communion with our Father, he takes away all of that pride. And it doesn't happen overnight, but it happens as we take in the Word And as he begins to humble us, we begin to find out sometimes we've still got some pride there. We're surprised it's still there sometimes. But he's going to keep working on us. As our song says, he's still working on me. And he will until he takes us home. And I ended this today with a paragraph that was in this study book. It was so precious. He said, "These things were not written for our entertainment, nor even for our enlightenment, with a knowledge that will puff us up." We're not entertained by these things. "They were given by one who knows our dangers and who cares for our spiritual well-being and profit." Always through all dispensations, there are the same alternatives, either Egypt or Jehovah. Which one are we going to turn to? There's either self or there's Christ. There's either flesh or the spirit. Now each of us as individuals have to make this choice as we walk with the Lord. There's either sight or there's faith. Isn't that good? I thought that was good. Every day we're choosing one of these. We're choosing. Which do we want? Well, thank the Lord we don't have to go to Egypt. Thank the Lord we don't have to walk in the flesh, that we can walk in the Spirit. And thank the Lord the just shall walk by faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Are there any comments or thoughts on any of this now? I know it's a lot. That's why I didn't go any further tonight in this chapter, because we get such wealth out of these scriptures. Amen.